That's what I need. And actually, you need it too. You do need a good lawyer. We hear a lot about on Yom Kippur, about being forgiven, about reconciling. It's a time of introspection. There is atonement, and Pastor Ken's right. We do need atonement. But if you really think about it, get down to the essence of it, it's about getting great representation. And there's only one guy in all of Israel who could had access, one lawyer, if you will, could go into one space one time a year. And you figured with a nation of Jewish people, you could be a lot more, but there's only one. There's only one guy fitting enough to do the job. And when he came before God, he had a strip down. Normally, this guy was dressed to the nines. He had a lot of colorful robes, and he had little pomegranates on his robe. Sounds like something from the West Village, but still, it was something really. This was what God wanted him to wear. He had bells. He had an ornate chest plate with precious stones on it. He had a crown and a gold. I mean, this. If you can go to the Temple Institute in Israel, you can actually see a replica made from the original materials of what it would look like. And it's not cheap because it's gold and precious. I mean, this stuff was, he was looking good. But when he came before the presence of God, he had to take all those things down. And it said he had to come in only white linen clothing. No gold, no colors, no nothing. And he had to come with three specific things. He had to come with blood, which could be his payment. He had to come with coals, and he also had to come with incense. And we read from Isaiah 6, coals purified Isaiah's mouth, and incense are the prayers, if you will. It's really working well for my jokes. The coals and the incense are like the lawyer teaching the client what to say. Right? He's going before God with clean and pure right words. And here's his payment. I paid. Here's the debt I owe. Here's my blood, right? You're going before God, and you have to say, you have to pay, and you have to say the right things. You can't, and this judge cannot be bribed. There's three specific things he wants, and he has to get it. And the representative can't prove himself. Look at me, I'm the high priest. Because really, before there was a king, there was a high priest in Israel. A high priest is a much higher status, really, than the king in many respects. Because he had the ability to go into the presence of God where the king couldn't even go. What makes Yeshua so special is that he served as king and as a high priest. But even David was limited in his access to God. Even though he sought after God with his heart, it's only the high priest who could go before the presence of God on behalf of the people. We also have to realize that there's a prosecuting attorney. We see this in Job 1, where Satan brings accusation against God, against Job. We also see this in Zechariah 3, where that Joshua, the high priest, an earthly high priest, is a vision that Zechariah receives, stand before the angel of the Lord, who, if you read Asher's book, who ate lunch with Abraham is Yeshua, the defense attorney. And then there on the other side of him is the prosecuting attorney. Of course, there's great drama in it. And then it says that Adonai said to Satan, Adonai rebuke you. Which I don't know how well it would stand in a human court, but at least in the heavenly court, it worked well to get him to be quiet. Because the defense attorney the good thing about this guy is he always wins. But there's a reality that we have to face here. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up today in Yom Kippur is because, frankly, I think there's so much that's become just falsehood within the Jewish community that Jewish people don't need an intermediary. That they don't need someone to stand in before them. Well, we have a covenant with God. You guys need Jesus and we have God and that's okay and that we're good. That's nonsense. It's nonsense. From the Torah all through the end of Revelation, it's nonsense. And it's imperative for people to see this Because it really determines their eternal fate. Not just, and remember, I keep saying this over and over, and I really, really mean it. Eternal fate also applies to now. Eternal fate doesn't begin when you die. Eternal fate is now. So people can actually know God because they're saved, because they're written in the Lamb's Book of Life now, and it's because he's given the Spirit now. So we actually know God. Let's go to 1 John 1:8. Whoops. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us, right? It's like the client saying, did you do it? I'm innocent. I'm telling you it was somebody else. It wasn't me. I wasn't there. I got an alibi. I didn't do it. Right? If we confess, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. 9. If we confess our sins, however, he is faithful. Notice these are both acts of the mouth. He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So even when people say, I've never sinned, or I'm not that bad, and you're saying that it's not that bad, you're making God a liar. That's bad. And especially for a Jewish person who said, I'm not that bad, or I haven't really sinned, and I have a covenant with God, the word of God, the Torah, if you will, is not in you. You're deceiving yourself. You're playing a game. 2:1. My children, I am writing these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an intercessor, an advocate with the Father, the righteous Messiah, Yeshua. He is the atonement for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the whole world. And there is a false theology that comes around that's saying that people don't need to profess Yeshua, that he's already provided atonement. That's nonsense. But the point he's saying is that we have the salvation is for us, and it's also available to them. They can come in if they acknowledge and confess him. We have an intercessor. He's saying, I've done wrong. I need to hire this great attorney. He's going to go before the judge, and he's going to win my case. Do somebody really think that they're going to go before God? God. I mean, I'm not talking about to some judge. I'm talking about God. Really going to go before God and say, I've never done anything wrong. Or maybe I've done so right that it's hard to even think of something wrong. But let's look at compared to who this judge is. Let's think about this judge. He's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, all-righteous, all-pure, the unpersuadable, the unbribable. Would you really want to represent yourself in front of this judge? And he's been around a long time. He's seen a lot. He's heard it all. You really going to represent yourself before that judge? If knowing that this is the kind of judge that you're going to stand before, what kind of lawyer would you want to get? The best. And guess what? There's not only the best lawyer, but this lawyer knows the judge. He's actually related to him. And it even gets better. He works for free. Now, how many Jewish lawyers do you know would go stand before God and work for free? Alan Dershowitz wouldn't. Shapiro wouldn't. All that we have, the verdict that we have, is in his hands. And you can't speak because you're not even paying him. He can't even say he did a great job because you gave him X amount of money. Everything that we get out of this case is based upon his actions and his relationship with this judge. And while he doesn't charge us anything, he's paid the judge a heavy price. You can't call it a bribe, but you can call it a price that we couldn't even pay. Not even Todd Boses could pay this price. Because what is money to God? What is status to God? What is birth to God? What is righteous acts to God? Isaiah says our righteous acts are like menstrual rags. I know in your translations it doesn't say it so grotesquely, but I'm using that today for a purpose, because that's what it literally means in Hebrew. That's how dirty, when we go to say, look how righteously I've done, he said, yeah, it's pretty dirty to me. Let's go to Philippians 3:7. Here Shaul talks, but whatever things were, now Shaul, before happens, he says to the people, he says, look, people are going to boast according to the flesh. I got them. I have the pedigree that beats all. And even when it came to observing the Torah and being righteous for the traditions of my fathers, I was blameless, is the word he used. But he says, even with my blamelessness in his own eyes, whatever things were gained to me, these I've considered as loss for the sake of the Messiah. More than that, I consider all things to be lost in comparison to the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I consider them garbage, excrement, in order that I might gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my righteousness derived from Torah, but one that is through trusting in Messiah, the righteousness from God based on trust. Now, also interesting that the Greek here in verse 9, it says the righteous, through trusting in Messiah, can also be read as Messiah's trusting, Messiah's faithfulness. So the point is, even my own faith in Messiah is not even, that's not the point. The point is his faith. I put my faith in his faith because my faith ain't going to do it. Because we realize faith is a gift and it comes from him. So even if you think I'm blameless, and Paul says I'm blameless when he knows the Messiah, says, I can't approach the judge on my own blamelessness. I got to approach it on his trusting faithfulness. Because there's no way I'm going to stand before the eye that sees all, and he's going to say, you know what, you've actually done all right. The closer you get to God, the more bad stuff you see. It's kind of ironic because I'm saved and I get closer to God. I'm like, oh, it's so dirty. Why does dirty stuff still keep coming up? Because we're still being purified. But the point is we trust in him. We don't trust on anything that we've done. And a Jewish person, well, that's good for you, but we don't need an intermediary. Okay, but let's go back to where it started. Let's go to Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, the people are standing here before the Mount Sinai, freed, right? God took them out, it says. Not me, not an angel, but myself. I'll come take it out. In Exodus 20, verse 14. Sorry, that's not verse 14. Oh, here we go. Verse 18. All the people witnessed the thundering and the lightning. In Hebrew, it actually says they saw the thunder and the sound of the shofar and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood far away. So they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die. They come before the presence of God and they're terrified. So who has the audacity to say that Jewish people don't need an intermediary? What that does say is that you've never stood in the presence of God and you don't know how awesome it is. Because when you do stand before him, you're going to fall on your face and say, oh God, please don't kill me. Moses had to go before him to plead, to speak the words of God to the people and the people to God. Don't tell me that you don't need an intermediary. Because when you stand, yeah, maybe if you make up some of your own religion, you make up your own ideas about God and put them in your nice little pretty box and put a bow on it. Yeah, maybe you don't need an intermediary, but that ain't God. You stand before the almighty, all righteous, all powerful, all holy presence of God. You need someone to go before you because you're going to die. That's where Yeshua comes in and steps in and says, I will take that punishment. I'll take that ferocity and I'll give you life. And it didn't stop there with Moses. God appointed his brother Aaron to be a high priest to go before him and the rest of his sons. God gave us prophets. People would always seek, where's the man of God? I need to go seek God. They didn't go pray to God. They went and saw the man of God. Or when even David needed wisdom, he would go to the high priest and seek that he would use the Urim and the Tumim, these kind of dice, if you will, and they would show the will of God. Even in today, especially within the Hasidic circles, rabbis are they're like intermediaries between God, the people and God. And they're supposed to become close to the Rebbe, as they call him, so they become close to God. What are you telling me? You don't need an intermediary? And even a cantor in traditional Jewish circles is called the Shliach Tzibur, which means the emissary of the people. He goes before the people to the presence of God. What do you mean you don't need an intermediary? Even the Talmud says in reference, is a reference from the passage of Leviticus 16 with how the high priest had to atone for his own sins in his house before he atoned for the sins of the people. And it says in the Talmud, somebody pure can only atone for someone who's in debt. Somebody who's in debt can't atone for somebody who's in debt. Because you've got to pay your own debt. Yes, God pardoned the high priest so that he could offer a sacrifice. But that only lasted for a year. How about for all eternity? How about deep inside of our hearts, that our hearts be circumcised? Who's going to pay that debt? The high priest can't because he sinned. Yeshua can. We need somebody pure to go before the presence of God in the heavenly tabernacle, and only the righteous Messiah can do that. So the next time that somebody says to you, I'm the Jewish person, I don't need an intermediary. Remember what I've told you. Remember these verses. This nonsense. We need someone to stand before us in the presence of God because God is too great and we're too sinful. And even if we've done super good, like think about Moses, even he blew it at the end. If Moses can blow it, surely we can. And how many times did Paul even say, I'm the chief sinner. I persecuted the body. But God had mercy upon me. And even as believers, my encouragement for this next coming year is remember that anything good we have comes from him, and any privilege we have to come before the Father is only through the merit of Yeshua and his righteous acts and his mercy upon us and his grace. Don't go before the Father and say, look what I've done. Go before him and say, look at what Yeshua has done and thank you that you've bestowed it to me. Amen. It says in Romans 8:1 that there is therefore no condemnation for those found in Messiah Yeshua. The law of sin and of the law of life in Messiah has freed us from the law of sin and death. Meaning that the propensity that we had to keep doing the wrong stuff has been overridden by the law of Messiah, which gives us life and guides us into life and empowers us to do that. Our obedience flows from the grace that has been given to us freely because of this great work of this great lawyer. And that also means that whenever someone comes to you with an accusation, if we had a human or an enemy or a spirit, say, I have the legal authority. It's not right. It's not right. Sorry, you're the wrong person. I already got out of this one. I have the best lawyer in town. We can rest in confidence and do great things because we know we've already been acquitted. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the grace of Yeshua. He's entered the heavenly tabernacles and purchased us a salvation, a righteousness that can be not achieved by human hands, and is one that lasts forever, Lord. All glory and honor to you, our Father, our King, the Father of Yeshua, our Lord. who has given us such a great salvation, fulfilled your promise, Lord. And I pray you fulfill your promise further to your Jewish people, that they would see the necessity of the Messiah to go on their behalf, one greater than Moses, greater than all the prophets and all the rabbis, Lord, that can access your throne and pay our price, has been exalted to your right hand. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. All right, let's... Amen.